Hey, welcome in time for Daily Editorial. Got a couple of subjects Jimmy and I are going to talk about right now. One is the situation with COVID right now. It's getting very, very dramatic, especially with the missive that was put out by Dr. Malone, who was a real expert in COVID. And the second thing that's going on is there are a million things going on behind the scenes in Washington, D.C. right now, dealing with this vote for the Speaker of the House. We're going to let that one go, and we're going to talk about COVID first. Jimmy, a lot of people are very, very certain that the problem with COVID was handled so incorrectly by Dr. Fauci that he's probably going to get in some serious trouble because of that. You want to elaborate for me?
Yeah, I believe that there's a lot of pressure and a lot of information that's coming out now that Dr. Fauci, as director of the NIAID, and Francis Collins as a director of National Institute of Health, the NIH, were involved in silencing information that might have shown what they were doing to fund gain-of-function research. Now, we've been talking about this since the beginning of this entire crisis.
Yep.
But what we have now is documented evidence and emails where they were silencing opposition and then reaching out to people to provide a narrative that was not scientifically justified, that in fact this came from natural, that COVID came from natural evolutions, when in fact they had been subcontracting research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology to do gain of function research. And of course their argument is, well, it wasn't gain of function, but in fact it does just all the information, all the documentation now is proving that, in fact, it was increasing the level of danger with this with these viruses that they were researching. The
okay.
Justification.
And this level of knowledge, for lack of better terms, is primarily due to our friend Elon Musk, who is dumping the files that he's now in charge of because he owns the company.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, there's information about the silencing of people and trying to counter people from Twitter. And that's been, you know, provided by Elon Musk. And apparently there's going to be a lot more coming out. But a lot of this information is actually coming from freedom of information requests and documentation directly from the government. And of course, what we're seeing politically is a strong attempt by the powerful in D.C. to continue to silence the negative information. And of course, now there's more and more information coming out, including from the CDC, that shows the negative consequences of taking the jab. And there's more and more information coming out. There's been, in fact, Robert Malone, his basic background is he's the guy that was doing initial research on mRNA technology, and he has a bunch of patents that way. So he's not technically a COVID expert, but he's a vaccine, the guy that talked about the develop in part this technology to send through mRNA processes a potential vaccine response to where your body does something that it would do similarly to a regular vaccination.
It would seem to me, Jimmy, when you get a person at that high a level, his level of expertise has to be incredibly high, and people really need to stop and listen to what he has to say and make sure they understand it, correct?
Correct. And that's so Robert Malone, in fact, he's publishing things almost on a daily basis on a site called Who is Robert Malone? And one of his latest is actually a study that's been published by the Environmental Research that actually talks about the level of the infection fatality rate, which we've talked about a lot, the IFR, being nowhere near as dangerous as what people had initially thought. That it turns out it was much less dangerous, especially for young people. A lot of that data has been out there, but this study is actually proving it. And this is, of course, contrasting to the modeling and the information that was provided to force the lockdown. So Dr. Robert Malone is sharing studies that are very clearly showing that what we did was wrong at this, in the way that the governments responded were wrong. And of course, at the same time, you have the governments attempting to silence some of this information and shut down people like Robert Malone or Jay Bhattacharya from Stanford University. I mean, very well respected, top of their field type of people. Dr. McCullough, a cardiologist who was once, you know, chair at Baylor, their medical department. These are really, really respected people that the CDC and the federal government were trying to silence off of tech platforms and tech media platforms. And that's now we're just opening up the books on some of this. And it's just so damning and so destructive. It really, really has to have a pushback. You know, there's got to be strong pushback against this type of activity from the government.
Jimmy, I got a question for you. Now, why would an organization that is as sophisticated and, for lack of better terms, as well thought of as the Center for Disease Control, why would they do something that so far has been proven to be inaccurate?
So there are, you know, it's a very complex system, but there was a political element to all of this.
Yeah.
And, of course, there was manipulation. There's media manipulation, there's pharmaceutical corporation, there's the health industry, and then, of course, people that did trust in the system. Now, why were they doing this? It doesn't make a lot of sense other than to cover up for things that you may have been doing wrong. And this is what I'm afraid of. What I'm afraid really happened is that Fauci and Collins had funded research that was actually against the law. The Obama administration had said, no, stop doing this. They used cutouts like EcoHealth Alliance, subcontractors to do the research in Wuhan. That, in fact, may have been in cooperation with medical intelligence operations to gather information on Chinese bioweapons processes. And in that attempt to gain that information and then to do something outside of the law in order to continue their research, which they think is important to save the world, they got in trouble and this thing started out, and then they used every tool they could to cover up what they were doing. And that expanded out to the government using its influence to silence information. And not everybody knew what was happening. And of course, this is in conjunction with a very, very huge financial stake from the pharmaceutical companies that were developing the mRNA type of technology. And I'm going to go back to that meeting in 2019 where Francis Collins and Anthony Fauci in a discussion said, we need a big crisis to force this type of mRNA technology on everybody so that they accept it for the future. And I think there was a lot of money involved. I think there's ego involved. I think there's hubris from scientific ideology involved. And I think the whole idea of silencing voices out here was in order to protect their own personal interests and their own ideologies.
You know, it's hard to believe that people of that caliber, I mean, I don't know, obviously, I don't know Tony Fauci, but, you know, you have to believe somebody of his caliber, it's hard to believe that they would do something that is as blatantly incorrect as this, because according to the studies that I have read, actually, the way that the government mandated the containment of COVID was really caused a lot of deaths, and the, you know, going along with not really dealing with the older, more vulnerable population, but dealing with the entire population. I mean, that was a big mistake right there.
Well, it was, and you weren't able to actually talk about the negative part of it because the government was in cooperation with the tech giants and the media corporations, the big global corporations, in order to silence people's voices. What's happening now is some of these big, you know, global media outlets are actually saying, hey, there's too much evidence to ignore here. And I think, you know, you and I talked about yesterday, the Wall Street Journal even is doing an article and did an extensive article on the, you know, the actual potential damages that the vaccinations have done, and in fact, maybe creating variations of the COVID-19 virus that can't be stopped, and that people with a large number, and this is a very interesting study from Wall Street Journal, or at least article reflected a study that showed that people that had multiple vaccinations and boosters actually were more susceptible to these latest viruses, these variants, and more people are dying. And of course, now you've got articles, you've got the CDC actually admitting that they've identified hundreds of safety signals that that they hadn't admitted before on the vaccines. And this is including Bell's palsy, blood clotting, death among the signals that they're identifying that they were really covering up as they were attempting to force and continue to hype and try to force people to take the vaccinations in conjunction with very powerful pharmaceutical companies. We've talked about this a lot. I don't know if we're talking anything new other than the fact that information is beginning to leak out and actually go into the mainstream press now.
Yeah, my question is, what is it going to take, or is it even ever going to happen, that the American public is going to realize, let's say that the international public is going to realize that the method of containment that was tried by the governments, you know, the lockdowns, et cetera, were actually very detrimental to the population and should never have happened. What's it going to take for that realization to become public, Jim?
It's going to take pressure from the public. It's going to take...
I believe that'll never happen.
Yeah, well, you may be right, but I think what's happening now, and this is... reflected in this Rasmussen polling, where over 45% of the population, I'm sorry, 28% of the population believe that they know someone that died with because of something related to the vaccinations. Now, that's huge when that many people, that's over 70 million people that, according to polling, believe they know somebody that died. So that's actually now becoming, even with all the media control, it's becoming quite common for people to fear what's happening. And it's not based on your political party. It's pretty equal to Republicans and Democrats on how many think that they know somebody that have died from the vaccination complications. So that's what's going to create enough pressures. When people see that much information, they're beginning to feel it, and it's directly impacting them. The economy is directly impacting them. The lockdowns directly impacted them. You've got the COVID advisor on the 24th of December telling people in a video company, he's the Dr. Jaha, J-A-H-A, saying, hey, look, there are no studies that show masks work, yet they were forcing and pushing masks. This is, it's going to open up people's eyes because it's directly hurting them. And the more they try to do it, I think the more pressure that will be against them. Now, that actually rolls into the politics right now in Washington, because there are many Republicans that were on board with all these policies. And now they're afraid to stand up against it. And that's why you see this bizarre fight in the House over the speakership of the majority, and Kevin McCarthy under intense pressure, because there are people that are beginning to wake up. They're politically using whatever leverage they can to try and get answers for these problems and actually take action against them. Yet you have some leaders in the House, both on the Democratic side and some leaders in the Republican side, that are unwilling to take responsibility for anything. And that's where I think we've got this interesting fight going on in the House of Representatives.
Well, this fight has been going on for quite some time right now, and I would like to discuss that with you right now. I think it is amazing that the Republicans seem to be as disorganized as they are. I watched the House proceedings yesterday for the in its entirety, and I was amazed as I watched the results coming in. For example, the Republicans. I mean, this guy Harris, he's got a good shot at winning.
You mean Jeffries?
I'm sorry?
You mean Jeffries?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he won't win because he's not going to win. And it's not, again, this is really about leverage politics.
Yeah.
People, and there is a certain, and look, there is a certain number of Americans that actually understands what's happening right now in this nation, and they're tired of what's been going on in DC. They're frustrated with it. And if you just step back a little bit and say, oh, Kevin McCarthy, he's been, the guy that was leading the Republicans here for a while, and he was, Speaker of the House in
Right.
the administration.
He was Speaker of the
Well,
House.
actually, I'm sorry. He wasn't Speaker of the House. He was
Oh,
the Republican leader.
yeah,
Paul
minority
Ryan was the
leader, right.
last Republican Speaker of the House.
Right.
Paul Ryan was a rhino a globalist that basically undermined Congress and allowed the Democrats to take control. Kevin McCarthy did not do success, was not successful in 2020 as a Republican leader in the House. He was not successful in 2022. And people are tired of that failure and loss. So they're trying to get him. What's happening behind the scenes is a handful of Republicans, about, well, right now it looks like 19 because there's a vote ongoing. About 19 Republicans are saying, hey, look, you better do some things, bold things, based on how Republicans won. And you can't just bow down to the Democrats as the Republicans have done in the past. That's force. They want him to make some concessions. They want McCarthy to say, "Hey, look, you can. I can be voted out." So Nancy, by the general population of the Congress, the Republicans, if in fact he doesn't succeed, Nancy Pelosi had changed the rules to make it a very difficult position. Only the leadership could get a House vote on the floor to have her removed.
Yeah.
That was in order to protect her power. They want that changed. They want a bill going forward for term limits. And of course, these things are unlikely to be successful, but if they go to a vote, but what it does is it forces the Democrats to take a stand on it. And what's happening and what has happened in the past is Republicans' leadership have acquiesced to Democratic principles and cooperated with them, while the Democrats have never cooperated or acquiesced to Republican demands. And of course, they're not going to do it when they still have the Senate right now. So it's a very, very important vote to have leadership that will stand strong against what the Democrats have done in the past and force the Democrats to make decisions that will hurt them in their future elections,
Yeah.
as opposed to falling behind and allowing the Republicans to just do what they what their Demo, you know, let the Democrats drive the train and the Republicans just follow along. And that's what the real fight is right now. And Kevin McCarthy has not shown that he's been successful in actually developing a good plan and getting, the strength behind the Republican Party. So I think it's a very important pressure point right now from a very few Republicans to make a difference.
I think we have a couple of very important, you're calling them pressure points. I'm calling them milestones in history. The two things that are going on right now that are incredibly important for all Americans, number one is the COVID containment situation. That has to be settled. And also the Speaker of the House, that has to be settled primarily because the Republicans have to decide if they really want to be a major party again.
Yeah, it's interesting. Donald Trump came out today
Yeah.
and said, "Hey, look, support McCarthy. Take the victory, get behind him. He'll do a
Yeah.
good job, do a great job. And hey, quit whining." The people that are pushing McCarthy the strongest are the strongest Trump supporters. So that's an interesting, dilemma, dynamic in the politics, and it does show a bit of confusion, right?
Yep.
And the problem is, you get Republicans, and this is what is so disturbing to me. You get Republicans like Dan Crenshaw, you get Mitch McConnell, you get others that are attacking Republicans, saying you're bad guys because you want to push conservative principles. That's very damaging. Now, here's the other angle that I think is very important politically. the left, people like Joe Scarborough, people like MSNBC, these other pundits, they want McCarthy elected speaker. If they want McCarthy elected speaker, why is that? You have to think for a moment and say, why does the left want McCarthy elected speaker? They want him elected speaker, in my view, in my opinion, because he's willing to succumb to leftist pressure.
Well, that's
and he's not going to be effective in his, and they know that. So they're and you have the same people on the right, the conservatives, the former leaders in the House, the former, you know, like Newt Gingrich. You get a lot of advisors out there saying, hey, look, let's get over it. And I think Trump's position was smart. He just said, hey, you got to get over it, take the victory and go.
I agree.
But at the same time, it's going to be really hard. And right now the vote is because the vote is ongoing as we speak.
Right.
And McCarthy is not going to win again. He's not going to get. So this will be the fourth failure to get support. And now what is going to have to happen, because he can't continue with this, you know, without getting this, you know, he'll have to withdraw.
Yeah.
And that means someone else will have to step in. And that's a very interesting dynamic who will be, because I know Jim Jordan, who's been nominated, didn't want to do it. I haven't heard anything from Steve Scalise, who was the Republican whip in the past. I think he's number two or number three overall. You haven't seen anybody moving up. So this is really a lot of pressure to push McCarthy off, and I think it'll be in the end there may be some negotiated, you know, deal behind the scenes where they actually get the concessions from McCarthy, or it'll become an ideological point that they're not going to give up on. And the interesting part to watch is how the Democrats fall in line. You know, AOC, these people in the squad supported people, you know, Nancy Pelosi, regardless of how much they didn't like her, and they would argue publicly negatively about her, but they still supported her because they all fell in line. And Kevin McCarthy has not been able to build that same type of consensus and control within the House.
Right.
Without that, he will not be successful. So that's another indicator that maybe he's not the right guy for the job.
Yeah, my personal opinion, you know, watching politics for as long as I've been watching it, I think of the Republicans now, some of the Republican real big wigs have really disappointed me, Mitch McConnell, et cetera, et cetera. The one guy who I personally really like right now, because he gets a lot of airtime, number one, he's got a lot of good ideas, number two, is Jim Jordan.
He's got a lot of good ideas. He says he doesn't want the leadership job. We'll see if there's some other things going on behind the scenes. There's always something going on behind the scenes.
Right.
And the vote is right now 201 for McCarthy, 212 for Jeffries, and there's 20 others that haven't voted. So I think that means a failure again for McCarthy, and it's actually a growing opposition, not a shrinking opposition.
Yeah.
So...
Well, the only thing that bothers me in the long run is I really would hate to see Jeffries get it. I really would. And I think that's a very good possibility right now. What do you think?
No, I don't think it's possible unless five Republicans or six Republicans jump ship and vote for a Democrat. If they voted for a Democrat, Hakeem Jeffries, they would be put out of office probably before they finish their terms. There's no Republican that's going to succeed on supporting a Democrat and Hakeem Jeffries.
Especially a very, very progressive Democrat.
Exactly. So so that I don't think that's a possibility. What I do think is a possibility is maybe a negotiated agreement between some Rhino conservatives to jump over and pick an outside candidate that the Democrats might join up with, a few Democrats might join up with. But ultimately, I mean, this is a very... I think it will be forgotten in about a month. I think right now this fight is a very interesting one. I think if McCarthy can't get the votes and Trump lobbied with him, I think that really bodes poorly for Trump. So that's an interesting dynamic on it.
Yeah.
I think if the if Jim Jordan, if McCarthy withdraws, actually says, okay, I quit, then I think Jim Jordan, somebody like that, might step up. Yeah. And then they, you probably would get the votes very quickly on that. But McCarthy would have to back down. And I think, you know, it was a good point somebody made. I don't remember who it was. I think it was a Republican congressman.
Yeah.
Said if Kevin McCarthy had worked as hard for the, oh, I think, okay, it was Bob Good, Republican Bob Good. He said, if McCarthy had fought as hard for the American people over the years as he has fought for the speakership, we would be having a very different discussion right now. And yeah. I think that's a really important point to be made.
Well, I think we're having a very difficult session right now. There's no question about that. And I agree with you. I think it's going to be a while before this thing is settled. There's a possibility it could be settled sooner rather than later. But the fact of the matter is, some people have to give up their little fiefdom. There's no question about that. Jim, I'm going to see what happens. It's a very interesting time in American history. I personally think the speaker issue is important, but I think the COVID containment issue is much more important because it's costing lives right now.
Opening the books on that and showing the truth and getting people to actually right. understand it will be the most important thing. You're probably right, in human history.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Jim.